The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
240 plus flights cancelled, 30,000 passengers impacted. I think the estimation, Aer Lingus suffering 46 million in costs thanks to the IALPA action. IALPA saying that Aer Lingus is impacting flight safety, accusing them over the weekend of causing one pilot to have to refuse a flight because of the stress he was put under from legal letters sent by Aer Lingus, suggesting that Aer Lingus is targeting them as individuals. Aer Lingus saying that they have been open to discussions for the last number of days, if not weeks, but that the pilots won't come. The pilots saying that the Aer Lingus offer of discussions is predicated on preconditions which they can't accept, and words like blackmail and greed getting thrown around. Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, is with me, as is Owen Corry, journalist and travel commentator. To start with you, Pat, language like that and accusations like those wouldn't suggest that this bodes well for an urgent resolution.
No. It seems to be getting worse before it gets better, to coin a phrase. And often, I think, with industrial relations disputes, you have this period of rhetorical escalation, if you like, before there's a couple of days of action and then the parties sit down. That seems to be the trajectory that we're headed onto. There may be last minute interventions before the dispute begins on Wednesday. But just looking at the exchanges over the weekend and the temper of relations between the two sides, you wouldn't necessarily expect so.
Normally as well, what you tend to hear is that preconditions are anathema to negotiation. And in this instance, we're neck deep in preconditions. We have Aer Lingus saying that they won't come to the table unless productivity and flexibility is discussed. And we have IALPA doubling down on their 24% pay claim as being their core claim and reason for coming to the table. That doesn't look like there's a lot of flexibility with either party.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I think that you may have to have the increasing external pressure that would inevitably be brought by people missing flights, people stranded, sort of pictures of people stranded at airports, that type of thing. You may have to go through that phase before the external pressure on both sides enables a fresh round of negotiations to take place. The one thing that everybody says, and Micheál Martin was saying it this morning, is that all industrial relations disputes are eventually solved, and they are solved through negotiations. But sometimes it seems that there has to be a bit of pain on both sides, and to the traveling public, or to the public that are being used to a greater or lesser degree, I suppose, by both sides as pawns in this, before that happens.
Where do you see the wiggle room, if at all, Pat?
Gosh, it's hard to see it at this stage, Anton. You would have thought that the company is unlikely to concede anything like a 24% pay increase without some change in workplace practices that can claw back some of the cost of that. So it's hard to see the pilots getting a win on their terms. The company does seem to be exhibiting some signs of willingness to go beyond their offer and the labour court's recommendation on it. But the sort of increases that the pilots are looking for without any compensating measures seem to me to be very unlikely to happen.
And presumably as well, both sides will have to swallow hard to get back around a table, because there has been a level of viciousness in the language and accusations made about each side. I mean, that the threats of blackmail, or the suggestions that there is blackmail, suggestions that management is motivated by greed, suggestions that each side is saying the other is talking out one side of their mouth. I mean, that is the kind of thing that makes it very difficult, I would have thought, just on a personal basis, for those involved to say, okay, let's set all that aside and get back to business.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, there's a sense of all's fair in love and war, and in industrial relations disputes, at least in the in this sort of phase before the action actually begins to bite. It tends to be what happens. Now, sometimes, you know, you can have a sort of a legacy of bitterness left between the two sides that make it a less pleasant place to work, I suppose, and can sort of poison worker management relations for some time. But and that may be the sort of phase that we're entered into here. But ultimately, I go back to what everybody is saying, what politicians are saying, is that ultimately this will be solved by negotiations. They may be making that harder to happen at the moment, but ultimately that's what will happen.
Pat, thank you very much. Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times. And as I said, Owen Corry is with us as well, journalist and travel commentator. Owen, in the middle of all of this, of course, are the tens of thousands of passengers who have found themselves caught. Can you remind us of the scale of the impact?
Well, the scale of the work to rule impact is about, and the one day stoppage that we have looming up next Saturday is about 30,000 passengers. Aer Lingus will be carrying 44,000 passengers a day. Very important in that statistic, which sometimes gets left out, is that 14,000 of those are transfer passengers. They're not really coming to Ireland or leaving Ireland. They're passing through Dublin en route to somewhere else. They will have alternative options now with IAG, so they can be rerouted a little bit easier. But it is a big blow to Aer Lingus's move to from one country airline to being one of the major players moving large numbers of people from Europe to America. That's their where what they do, using Dublin as a hub. It's the impact internationally on Aer Lingus is quite substantial there.
And presumably as well, the impact on Aer Lingus is substantial given the percentage, given the high percentage of transatlantic travel it manages coming from the US. It has a significant portion of the US market coming into Ireland. And I would imagine that if those travellers have any concerns, they head for United, they head for American Airlines, and they don't necessarily ever come back to Aer Lingus.
144 flights a day, Aer Lingus transatlantic flights this summer. It's the largest schedule they've ever had. I wouldn't worry tremendously on long-term impact. Aviation goes in and out of strike mode with a dizzying frequency because the unions are so strong, because the pilots' unions are so strong. SAS Scandinavian strike 2 years ago did damage the airline massively, so much so that it's now effectively been taken over by Air France. It went into Chapter 11. Lufthansa got through a series of strikes just before the pandemic. Air France are lumbering up for a strike at the moment. The memory tends to not be long for when an airline goes into strikes and shutdowns. I would also be really hopeful that we will get talking fairly soon, much more hopeful than Pat. I would think that what IALPA set out to achieve has largely been achieved. They've scared the pants off the passengers, dream trips, weddings, all of that. They have dominated the news agenda, and they've caused Aer Lingus a lot of unnecessary cost on contingency plans, tens of millions of euro on contingency plans. What else is to be achieved by the next stage in the escalation is a series of one-day stoppages, and then a full-scale shutdown, neither of which I expect to happen. And the reason is this: there's a lot to talk about. Not always in the pilot's dispute do you have a lot to talk about, but once those doors are closed and people are inside, there's a lot. There are 26 different pay scales for pilots. There is the crewing agreement, which seems to be at the core of a lot of the problem here, where pilots got a lot of hours a couple of years ago. And Aer Lingus have always said they will be ready to give them more money if it's cost neutral. In other words, they're looking for hours for pay. This is the classic horse trading in industrial relations disputes that we've seen down the years. The difference is IALPA's race, their haste to get their ballot and their strike notice served and their disregard of the arbitration process so far.
There's obviously three financial impacts on Aer Lingus. There is the loss of revenue on the flights that are cancelled. There's the loss of forward bookings. And there is the impact of the compensation to passengers. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because we're getting texts, as I was over the weekend on my own show, along these lines. Our once-in-a-lifetime trip to Disneyland Paris has been cancelled this week due to the pilot work stoppage. Bitterly disappointed children in our house. Pilots will very quickly lose the support and respect of the public with such egregiously punishing action aimed at the travelling public. Now, whatever about making sad children feel better, what about the cost of those ancillary purchases? Theme park tickets, theatre tickets, concert tickets, hotels, all of that?
Not covered. Not covered at all. Interestingly enough, compensation, which you can get up to something like €600 when it's a sort of a penal compensation the airline has to pay on top of giving you the price of your ticket back or rerouting you, that wasn't covered by strikes initially in 2004 when the famous EU 261 legislation came in. A case law through Europe has reinterpreted that. If the strike is in the airline is punished again. Even in, we had a case where it was a wildcat strike not sanctioned by the union and the airline had to pay compensation. The idea is that consumer legislation overrides the industrial relations terms and conditions. Now, what you're talking about, the Taylor Swift ticket or the match or the car hire, they will be covered by insurance. It's not as clear as it looks at first, because the Common Garden insurance policy we all have that covers 12 months doesn't have a flight disruption as part of it. It's something that insurance companies never really thought about, because flight disruption was something that airlines always covered in the past. So flight disruption costs maybe €8 more on your annual policy. It's really worth having because of the French air traffic control strikes and all the other weather events, things like that can affect it. But it's hard to get now for Aer Lingus. It's the equivalent of looking for insurance when the riverbank is about to burst.
Can I ask you, Owen, in respect of one final thing, precedent that this might set? Because one of the things that Donal Moriarty was pointing out was that the other unions had done deals with Aer Lingus to arrive at that 12.5% pay hike that they received, and that the pilots are out of step with those agreements. Does this set a precedent from Aer Lingus's point of view for the other unions to say, if you push harder and up the stakes, you can get a better deal? And does it set a precedent with Aer Lingus into IAG for BA, Iberia and everybody else across the group?
Everybody looking at that. Pilots tend to operate in a different world on their own. They index link internationally. They don't index link to what's happening in the country. The pilots in Aer Lingus Regional, by the way, have already signed a deal. So that is not affected by the action at all. So the contagion within the group and contagion within IAG have both been mentioned, both been brought up. I don't expect it to be as big a problem, because pilots have traditionally been 6 miles high in the sky. They've been in a different level, and the way the union talks and the way the union behaves doesn't follow the industrial relations norm. What is also interesting is IAG withdrew about $500 million dollars worth of investment that was coming into Aer Lingus this year and sent it to Iberia instead. That is an indication that we're no longer dealing as we were when Willie Walsh and Evan Cullen were in negotiations. We're no longer dealing with the person who makes the final decision. Aer Lingus is effectively a Spanish airline. And what we could see is them just running down their investment in Aer Lingus, their expansion plans. They won't be closing it down or moving more aircraft to Manchester. Two of their aircraft are based there. But it's just that extra investment that Aer Lingus was so looking forward to might not be coming their way unless we get a deal on this fairly quickly. I would be hopeful again you can overstate that as well, because they have put two of the short haul aircraft, about $250 million worth of investment are coming to Aer Lingus, even though the dispute is on. But Aer Lingus is no longer the Dublin headquartered airline that whoever does the deal with the pilots makes the final decision. I think there's a lot of IAG would be looking over their shoulder, and as you pointed out, they'd be looking at contagion within their group for other pilot unions.
Owen, thanks for your time this morning. That's Owen Corry, journalist and travel commentator.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.